Yeah, switch the station. I consider myself politically correct, and his views make me uncomfortable.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. Another very bizarre news day here in the Pacific Northwest. And we have a show decision to make for a little bit later this hour. So, Nicole, we haven't had time to hash this out off the air. So can we have a little show prep meeting right now?
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. So we found out this morning that Jay Inslee had a 2:30 press conference. And for the last several months, we've been carrying the Inslee and the Trump press conferences live. And I'm really sick of Jay Inslee press conferences. And I'm guessing our listeners are too. And so when Nicole and I were sending emails and texts prepping for the show this morning, I said, and you told me that you were thinking the same thing, I said, let's not carry the Inslee press conference live. Let's just monitor it. We'll record it. If he says anything interesting, we'll play it for our listeners. And you were kind of the same mind that we shouldn't take it live, correct?
Right. We think that it's going to be mostly, you know, the mask thing and more shaming in that area. And then also the Eastern counties going to the modified phase one. So we've got the gist of it, and we kind of felt like we could probably just give you the summary.
And today's the first day, by the way, where businesses are supposed to kick you out if you're not wearing a mask. And I'll get to that in just a couple of seconds. So anyway, we were not going to carry the Jay Inslee press conference. And look, above all else, we are here to serve you, the listener. And I would love your feedback. Is there anything that you think you want or need to hear from the governor? And just shoot us a text real quick at 98973. That's 98973. But are you okay if we do not carry the Jay Inslee press conference? I'm guessing it's going to be like 99.999% in agreement. But here's where we suddenly find ourselves in a sticky situation. So we found out last night that a King County Sheriff's detective, who is Dow Constantine's personal driver, one of three at $500,000 a year cost, that he sent out memes right after the two women were struck on I-5, one of them killed. He sent out a meme that showed, it was kind of a cartoon drawing of a truck hitting two people, one of whom was flying through the air. And the King County Sheriff's detective, Dow's driver, sent out a meme that said, "All lives splatter." And then underneath it said, "Get your butt out of the road." And it had a different word for butt. And so, you know, obviously that's created quite a bit of grief and strife. And he has now been suspended. Well, since then, we find out that he also posted elsewhere, "I see a couple of people got infected with COVID-19 from the hood of a car on I-5 last night." Again, you knew that was going to create some huge problems. But here's where this converges with the Jay Inslee press conference. The detective who sent out those memes and posts is Jay Inslee's cousin. And now I want to hear if Jay Inslee is going to address that right off the top. So is this what we're thinking, Nicole? We'll carry the very beginning of Jay Inslee's press conference live to see if he addresses that. And if he goes off on the COVID thing, we'll dump out of it and just start recording. And then we'll see if he says anything about his cousin. Then we'll just record it and play it back for the listeners.
Right. I think that's a good plan.
Okay.
I think that's good.
Okay. All right. So, Sean, be prepared to go live with the governor at 2:30 if he's on time.
You got it, Dory.
But Jay, you're going to be on a short leash on the Dory Monson show today. If you don't talk about the story we're all interested in, which is your cousin sending out the All Lives Splatter meme, then we'll just move along. But that's the plan right now. And as I said, we are here to serve you, the listener. So give us your feedback at 98973. That's 98973. Somebody just reached out to me on Twitter and made an absolutely fantastic point. This might be one of the greatest indicators of how insane we are as a state government. So, as I said a minute ago, today is the first day. If you are not wearing a mask and you go into a business, whoever's working at that business has to tell you to leave. That is now required in the state. Now, you know, that's particularly problematic if, you know, like, I don't even know if they're open, but there's a little yogurt shop within walking distance of my house. And they often have, you know, like 17, 18-year-old high school kids working there. And I'm just trying to imagine an 18-year-old kid, and she's got to tell, you know, some guy who's just trying to make a political statement. And as I said, I have no problem masking up when I'm in somebody else's business. I just have no problem with it.
Did you hear that happened in Leavenworth last weekend?
No.
A younger girl was working and a child, I think it was a child, came in without a mask and the mom ended up yelling at her for telling her to leave. It was a whole thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know about that. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's just a mess. But
I think people should remember that they're being told they have to do this, like, you know, go after the governor on this. Don't go after the kids and the employees that just want to stay in business.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they're going to get shut down by our health department. But here's the insanity of it. So in the last legislative session, there were some activists who pushed for a bill. And again, this is just how crazy radical our state government has gotten. Because right now, if you are HIV positive and you know you're HIV positive and you have sex with somebody and you do not tell them that you're an HIV carrier, that used to be a felony in Washington, as it should be. I mean, what kind of an evil monster would knowingly pass HIV on to a sex partner and not inform them? But because of these radical leftists who have gotten control of our legislature, they said, hey, let's decriminalize passing on HIV. Now think about that. If your daughter, for example, if some scumbag who has HIV, has unprotected sex, doesn't tell your kid, and now your kid's HIV positive, that was a felony in Washington, as it should be. But now, today, it's just a misdemeanor. $1,000 fine. No big deal. Passed by the legislature, signed into law by Jay Inslee. To make sense of this, go on. If you can text some way to make sense of this to me, you are a better mind than I have, which isn't that tough to do, but let's face it. But you can be an HIV carrier, you can knowingly transmit it to somebody. And Jay Inslee says, yeah, let's make that just a little slap on the wrist and decriminalize that and just $1,000 fine. But the same governor says, oh, if you walk into a grocery store without a mask, you can be fined $500. I mean, essentially what they're saying is if you walk into a store, you are as bad as somebody who's HIV positive, who has unprotected sex and doesn't inform your partner and transmits the disease to them. There is no way anybody could reconcile those two things. It is absolutely impossible to make sense of that. But Jay Inslee somehow can. So hey, Governor, how about you repeal the HIV transmission law that you signed, since now wearing a mask is essentially the same level of crime in your state? It's absolute insanity. Okay, with that as mere prelude, let's get to the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
I want to give credit to our colleague, Jason Rance, who you can hear every afternoon on our sister station, KTTH. Jason had a pretty great exclusive story that's up at mynorthwest.com right now. It's the story about a kindergarten teacher in Seattle. His name is Kurt Lynn. And Kurt Lynn says he was the target of racist remarks at the Home Depot store in Seattle's Soto neighborhood. And so the Seattle Times ran a whole story, just taking this guy's word as to what happened. He said on Facebook that he was driving up to the Home Depot, that he was cut off by a driver. They said a racial slur against people of Asian descent. He says that the driver said, "Open your eyes, go back to China." And then he said security didn't even bother calling the police. The men were welcomed to the store and did their shopping. They smiled and waved as they left. And then Lynn says a Seattle police officer arrived and said because he hadn't been physically threatened, no crime had occurred. And he said the officer took no report and left. Okay, maybe the Seattle Times should have at least watched the police body cam video that Jason Rance was able to obtain. Because while this kindergarten teacher was trying to spin a story about this horrible racial incident, let's listen. In that guy's own words, as he's talking with a very cool Seattle police officer. So here from the body cam video audio that Jason obtained, here's that kindergarten teacher, Kurt Lynn, telling the cop what the man said.
How can I help you?
I was reporting harassment. Someone just yelling, "Open your eyes, go back to China, okay. Do this."
Get out. Okay, did somebody threaten you? Okay, so he said some racial slurs to you, but he didn't threaten you?
He told me to get out of the car as I was on the phone with the police. He said, "Why don't you get out of the car?" He said, "No, I'm going to call the police. Why don't you get out of the car?"
Okay, where is he now?
Left.
Okay.
Last I saw, eastbound. So all this happened from the security. He just was allowed to go back in the store, do his shopping, and then left.
Okay. Well, so based on what you told me so far, now, unless there's something you've left out, it doesn't sound like a crime's occurred.
Okay.
It sounds like he's being a jerk, and you probably come up with some other colorful words for what he was being, if he's using inappropriate terms, trying to insult you. But if there's not a crime committed, we can't detain and take enforcement action.
So what do I do? Where does this go? What happens? How do I report hate crimes?
It's not a hate crime, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. How do I report harassment?
It's not legal harassment either.
Oh, really?
Yeah. For it to be criminal harassment, there has to be a threat of harm, a credible threat of harm, and a...
Okay, now I'm going to jump in, because the guy who's making the complaint, Kurt Lynn, in the Seattle Times story, he said the officer was dismissive. His post on Facebook went viral. He said that the cop lied about protocol, and watching the entire video, the officer did not lie about protocol. And there, he was just trying to make a huge deal. And I'm so glad Jason obtained this interaction, because the cop is awesome. And he was trying to make the cop out to be a liar and dismissive.
What is the police doing about this?
There's nothing. The police aren't civil enforcement. The police are for criminal enforcement.
So if I'm walking down the street, people yell racist. So is that me? It's just, unless you're going to hit me, I don't call the police.
You can call the police. There's just nothing we can do about it legally. We live in a country with a constitution that says you cannot detain and deprive someone of their liberties unless that person has committed, there's probable cause that that person's committed a crime. And if there's no crime, okay, I can't legally detain them.
I guess from not the legal standpoint, I guess from a community standpoint, what's happening? Like, what do we do? What do I do? How do I best support my community in ending this? Like, what do I do? Legal ramifications, okay, you can't do anything, I understand that.
Sure.
What do I do as a citizen? What are you doing? What is the SPD doing as a community board? Not legal, okay. But...
Well, I'm a police officer. I'm not in charge of social organizing.
So you have nothing to do with the community?
No, we deal with the community all the time, but in a
problem,
criminal
enforcement. It's a very common problem right now.
Yes.
Right?
Sure.
I'm in touch with the officer who is patrolling Chinatown.
Sure.
On the ID. I've been in, actually, he's a part of our Facebook group. So when he encourages things like this, it sounds very different than what we're seeing.
There's nothing wrong with you coordinating with other people and encouraging better behavior. And
but from a macro perspective, SPD has no stance.
I can't speak for the command staff organization and what they do with the city.
Related to staff, right? If it's not there, then that means it's not there, correct?
I'm not going to speak for what they are talking about with community leaders. But so far as criminal enforcement goes, I cannot deprive someone of their rights based on rude behavior.
Sure.
And trust me, I agree with you.
I know.
You should not be jerks. They should not be speaking to you that way. I don't speak to people that way. I'm sure it sounds like you don't speak that way to people, but there are people that are rude, and even beyond rude, or socially unacceptable.
And as you see at My Northwest, Jason's story, the officer followed protocol in handling a hate bias incident, as outlined by Chief Carmen Best. They tell people, call 911, even if you want to just report name-calling. The officer tells this guy over and over, yes, you can call 911. He said, we'll show up. But they can't arrest people for name-calling. And, you know, the First Amendment protects the speech that is disagreeable. It was not created to protect speech that we all agree on. And so anyway, it's a shame that this cop was made in the Seattle Times story to a certain extent, and then in this guy's Facebook, to be a liar and to be dismissive. I thought the cop was wonderful with this.
The same way that I can say I don't like someone's opinion because of the First Amendment, they can say things that are far more atrocious than that. Which, it's offensive, it's an affront to social decency. I totally agree with you, but
I understand. I get it.
I mean, I would say, from a social perspective, and I can't speak on for everybody, but probably the best thing we can do is decide for ourselves that we're going to act decently with people, and try to be the best example, raise our kids to be decent people, and outnumber the guys that are jerks. You know what I mean?
Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm really sorry this happened to you.
I appreciate it.
Okay, it sounded like it was all amicable. Then the guy goes home, writes Facebook posts, says that the cop didn't follow protocol, and the cop called him back and said, I will file a report for you if you want. And but everything is being made out to try to destroy our police, and then you get the actual evidence. And that cop couldn't be nicer, more professional, more sympathetic to the guy. And just be aware, when you hear all of this stuff, whether it's in some outlets of the media or in social media, just understand that sometimes the reality is very different from some of the smack that's being talked about our police officers. That sounded like a fantastic cop to me right there. And that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, we're ready with lots of other great stuff. But I want to see if Jay Inslee at the top of his presser addresses his cousin who sent out the All Lives Splatter meme after the two women were hit on I-5. So we'll dip into that live, and then we'll have a lot more of the Dory Monson Show, all straight ahead. We're waiting for the Jay Inslee press conference to start. All he's talked about is COVID-19. Jay Inslee never addressed CHOP. And this was just a complete abandonment of leadership when he was asked about CHOP 24 hours after it started. Oh, that's news to me. I'll have to look into that. We'll see if he addresses, the murders of CHOP. Still hasn't talked about that. The incident on I-5, he's going to have to talk about because his cousin, the King County Sheriff's detective, sent out the All Lives Splatter meme. So we're going to just tune in to the beginning of Jay Inslee's press conference to see if he talks about it. While we're waiting for the governor to start, I want to make sure. I played this at the beginning of the Fastest 15, but I'm not going to leave the air today without making sure that you hear it. City of Seattle has just passed the largest business tax in its history. The head tax that was proposed 2 years ago, that business said, this will crush us. This is four times larger, and it's in the midst of an economic crisis when a lot of businesses don't know if they're going to survive through the coronavirus shutdown. And for Shama Sawant, for everybody who's accused me of hyperbole in talking about her over the years, she has gone on Twitter this afternoon and issued her little victory statement and made it clear that this is the beginning of a communist Seattle. I am not making this up. She says socialist, but Socialist Alternative is a Marxist organization. I've read you all those documents. You know the truth. But this is the beginning, in her view, of a communist Seattle, this town.
I have a message for Jeff Bezos and his class. If you attempt again to overturn the Amazon tax, working people will go all out in the thousands to defeat you. And we will not stop there, because you see, we are fighting for far more than this tax. We are preparing the ground for a different kind of society. And if you, Jeff Bezos, want to drive that process forward by lashing out against us in our modest demands, then so be it. Because we are coming for you and your rotten system. We are coming to dismantle this deeply oppressive, racist, sexist, violent, utterly bankrupt system of capitalism, this police state. We cannot and will not stop until we overthrow it and replace it with a world based instead on solidarity, genuine democracy, and equality, a socialist world. Thank you.
And by socialist, she does mean communist. She is an avowed Marxist. Serious question. I wonder, because she came here from India 10 years ago, why would you come to a country? You can go anywhere in the world. Why would you go to a country that you despise as much as she hates America, Washington, Seattle? I mean, you heard it. It's racist, it's sexist, capitalism is the most evil economic system known to mankind. Yeah, communism's done a bang-up job for humanity. And that's what she's about. And again, you hear it in her own words that it is their goal now. And Tammy Morales is right there shoulder to shoulder with her. They got two members of the city council, and the other seven aren't far behind. But we are talking about Marxists who want to turn this into a communist region. And I know when I would say these things a couple of years ago, come on, Monson, you're exaggerating. Nope. Everything I've been telling you about her for the last 5 years, 100% accurate and true. And now she feels emboldened to just say it herself. Some more audio that I've not had chance to share with you. Speaking of CHOP, the London Daily Mail had a reporter on the ground here in Seattle as CHOP was being dismantled because marchers went to Jenny Durkin's waterfront mansion and she had finally had enough. But the 16-year-old who was shot and killed 2 weekends ago, the Daily Mail reporter talked to a woman living on the street, she said, with her husband. Her name's Sierra Walker. And she talked about the 16-year-old who was shot and killed. And I just wanted to share with you. She called him her street sister. And I might have to save this for tomorrow's show because I see that Jay Inslee is just masking up for his press conference. So, like I said, we want to just dip into the very beginning of this and hear if he addresses his cousin and the All Lives Splatter meme that was sent out. And I don't know where my feed is versus the delay of your audio, Sean. Are we ready to go to the Gov?
You know, I've got no audio from the TV either at the moment, so.
Okay. Oh, I must be.
Oh, we've got him now, Dory.
Okay, there we go. All right, live to Olympia we go.
Dr. Kathy Lofi should have some brief remarks after I'm done with mine and can answer questions. Before I talk about our ongoing COVID work, I'd like to have make some comments about our unemployment compensation situation in the state of Washington. As you know, people are terribly frustrated by this. We still have thousands of people who have not been able to have their claims processed fully in a timely basis. And their frustration is real and sincere and deep, and it's something I share. These folks have been waiting to either be paid or have their claims resolved, sometimes for months, and they're in very serious financial condition, many of them. And that's why the team at our Employment Security Department has been really working as hard as humanly possible to develop the systems that can process these claims as quickly as possible. I want to report there has been progress recently on this front. Folks who are in the queue waiting for processing of their claims were number 81,000. 81,000 people were waiting as of June 15th. That has been reduced to 37,000 as of Monday. Significant progress. We've also been able, the department has been able to resolve identification issues for more than 200,000 claims as part of our efforts to combat fraud. They did this with the help of the National Guard, which we're very appreciative of. I do want to note that the vast majority of people who have filed claims have had their claims processed. Since March 8th, about 866,000 individuals have received more than $6.7 billion in unemployment benefits. But obviously, much work needs to be done. I am in contact with the leadership in employment security very regularly. I know it consumes them. I know every day they've got some new idea about how to expedite processing. And that work continues. Susie Levine, I think, will have more information about the specific new technologies they've brought online and also the new people of hiring hundreds of people to be able to respond to this unbelievable a tsunami of claims. As you know, the claims numbers have gone up by a factor of 10 from the regular processing capability of this department. So we're going to put pedal to the metal on this. Washingtonians deserve that. That said, I'd like to turn to COVID. It's hard to believe how far we have come, and we're only halfway through 2020. This fight has been tough.
We're going to jump in. I was going to see if he was going to address the All Lives Splatter meme by his cousin. The fact that he's praising how unemployment is handling things, and then he said, what, 37,000 people still cannot collect claims? He says that Susie Levine is going to get us up to speed on all the great things they're doing. Susie Levine got that job because she was a Democratic campaign donor to Obama, to Pete Buttigieg. She raised 180 or she makes $180,000 a year, and she had $350 million at least. They still haven't given us the real total, probably much more than that, stolen from the people of this state by, they say, Nigerian scammers. I cannot imagine anybody who could lose $350 million of their boss's money, and we're the boss, and keep the job. Susie Levine, he's still touting her, even though we've got thousands of people who can't collect unemployment, and she's built everybody in the state out of somewhere close to $500 million because of lax policy. But, man, if you're a Democratic campaign donor like Susie Levine, I guess you are untouchable. Okay, let me take a timeout. We're going to continue to monitor the governor's press conference. If anything's interesting, we'll take you back to Olympia. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. All right, we're continuing to monitor the Jay Inslee presser. If he says anything interesting, we'll have that for you throughout the afternoon here on 97.3 Cairo FM. But right now, it's time for us to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Man, the violence across America is still just absolutely unbelievable. But it's also unbelievable how the networks are spinning things. And even though we carry CBS, I think that CBS has been very guilty of just trying to, even in their news coverage, trying to really manipulate the message. Down in Atlanta, where that 8-year-old girl was shot and killed, the mayor of Atlanta, Keisha Lance, she was talking about how this wasn't a police problem. This was black-on-black crime, and we can't blame the cops for this. And listen to how the networks characterize this. Let me start with NBC here.
A holiday weekend full of bloodshed and tears across the country, dozens of victims, including innocent children. In Atlanta, 8-year-old Sakoria Turner shot and killed while riding in a car with her mother when police say, for still unknown reasons, gunmen opened fire.
They say Black Lives Matter. You killed your own.
Tonight, Georgia's governor declaring a state of emergency, activating up to 1,000 National Guard troops after weeks of vandalism and now gun violence.
It has to stop. You can't blame this on a police officer. You can't say that this is about criminal justice reform. This is about some people carrying some weapons who shot up a car with an 8-year-old baby in the car.
Okay, so that's the mayor saying you can't blame this on a police officer. This isn't about police reform. She just said it's our community killing each other. Listen to how CBS edited it. Edited her words.
Charmaine Turner's daughter, Sakoria, her baby, died in her arms on the 4th of July. A group of armed men randomly blocked their car in Atlanta. Two gunmen opened fire. The 8-year-old girl was killed.
This is about some people carrying some weapons who shot up a car with an 8-year-old baby in the car. For what?
Why did CBS edit that out? It would have just been a couple extra seconds of the mayor saying, you can't blame this on a police officer. This is us killing our own. But they edited that out because it just didn't apparently fit the narrative. And, you know, in talk radio, we present things through our prism of the world. But news is supposed to be about objectively presenting stories. But that's where, you know, a reporter and a network just said, no, we're going to edit out the mayor of a city that's in, you know, absolute, you know, war zone, where the governor had to declare a state of emergency, and they edit out the positive thing that she, not positive, but the neutral thing she said about cops in regards to that story. It's really sad. It is sad how things are being spun. Okay, that is going. How much time we got here, Sean?
Oh, we've got about 40 seconds or so.
Oh, 40 seconds. Okay, here, I'll play this for you. Go check out our podcast at 12:30 this afternoon. I talked to a young couple. He'd been deployed overseas, and he surprised her on the 4th of July. Really sweet young couple down in Gig Harbor, Corey and Hannah. You can hear their whole story if you go check out our podcast, which we always post right after the show at MyNorthwest.com. Tom and Curly are coming up next. I will see you back here tomorrow, high noon. Let's bring it back. And,
thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.